Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
It never gets old, does it? Well, good morning, church. How good is it to be together today? And can I say, this is the best group of people, the best looking, best bunch of people to spend a Sunday morning with. If you think about it, you couldn't have been anywhere right now and spending a Sunday with like people like at Tasha's or at Mug and Bean or in the East Drive Mall. But would they look as good as everyone that's in this room right now? Hey, exactly. So really it's good for us to be together today. And I'd like to start by addressing the elephant in the room. And you may see all across the auditorium and all across the campus, there's like a tropical feel and a tropical vibe going on here, you know? That kind of like makes you feel relaxed as soon as like you settle down and you sit, you know? Like, feels like you have to just wave somehow. like I never wave my hands during worship. Why am I waving them today? You know, like that kind of thing. And the reason for that is because on Friday night, we spent some time honoring our volunteers, you know? And the theme was tropical because, oh no, why not? So we spent time honoring our volunteers over the last 2 years. You know, our last volunteer appreciation was in 2019. So we spent the whole of Friday night just honoring them. And then we thought, why don't we make a weekend out of it? You know, so keep everything up so that we can just continue to show honor and give honor to our volunteers. So to all our volunteers, once again, thank you so much for who you are, what you do. And you're just incredible and amazing people. So if you see anyone today who's wearing a How Can I Serve You t-shirt, just say thank you. You know, just hold them on the shoulder and say thank you. You know, they'll think it's a bit deep and intimate, but like it comes from the heart. Well, just so that you know, Pastor Brian and Pastor Candace are in Edenville today. They are with Dr. Paul Alexander. Dr. Paul is going to be preaching a phenomenal message to our Edenville family in just a few moments' time. And we know that they're going to be blessed there. And this means that today, both here in Boksburg and online as well, it is my privilege to encourage us with God's word. So, and I want to just take a moment to thank Pastor Brian and Pastor Candace for the privilege of being able to do so, even in their absence. And especially because today we kick off a brand new sermon series, and it's called A Better Way to Live. Yeah. Hey. Hence, oh, come on. Hence is like a guy. Like, how often do you feel like that guy? You know, just like you feel trapped in, you know? But there is a better way to live, a more freer, more healthier way to live. So that's what we're going to be spending today, kind of discovering and kind of living out. So before we get going, though, can we pray? Can we just commit this time to God and allow God to speak into our hearts? So if you wouldn't mind joining me in standing, and let's give this time over to God right now. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity of being able to gather under your banner, gathering under your name, Lord Jesus. We've already declared you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We've declared that the battle belongs to you. So right now, we just gather it here today and just really open to what you want to share and say into our lives and to sow into our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that your message may just allow room for you to breathe and may just allow room for you and your Holy Spirit to work, not just today, but in the weeks and months and years to come as well. So we pray all of this, Lord Jesus, in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. Amen. Cool. You may take your seat. You know, over the last 2 years during the COVID season, religiously, like clockwork, like constantly, I'd get a phone call or a message from my older sister. And she would always ask me, without fail, every single time, if I've taken my vitamins. Yeah. She'd get a call from her, like, or whether it be a message, and she'll be like, baby brother, till this day, she still calls me baby brother. Baby brother, have you taken your vitamin C's? Yes, I have. Has Amy taken hers? Yes, she has. Good. And that was like, and sometimes it's just the sum total of the phone call. I'm like, is there anything else? Like, no. Okay then. But she always used to do this, like clockwork, religiously, because she knew that in this season, it is so vital to have an effervescent that can really just burn within your, like help you just endure and thrive in these moments and in this season and in these times, especially in these strenuous times. You know, she knew that it was a better way to live. You know, and the same is true for us in our spiritual lives. You know, in our spiritual lives, we also need an effervescent for our souls that can help us live and flourish in these times. You know, we all need something, a principle, a way to live that is so much better, that can function once again as an effervescent, that can just fizz within our lives, fizz within our hearts, just help us to really just flourish and help us to really just know how it is that we can live effectively in these lives and not succumb or suffer from whatever it is that's happening around us, you know? We may have financial struggles, we may have relational tensions, we may have things that are happening in our world, but if we have principles in our lives that can be effervescent for our souls, we can flourish and we can have a better way to live. So that's what the next coming few weeks are going to be about. And I just want to take a quick note to tell my sister who's probably watching right now that I will take this later so you don't have to call me. Okay. but over the next few weeks, now we're going to be discovering how it is that we can have a better way to live so that in these strenuous times that we can find ourselves in, we can still flourish, we can still grow, and we can still find out how it is that we can live better and healthier and freer. So are you ready to discover a better way to live today? Come on. And today I'd like to start off with just one simple principle. And it's a principle that's found all throughout Scripture, but I want to just kind of reinforce it and unpack it for us using one of my all-time favorite stories. And that story is The Count of Monte Cristo. Now, it was an awesome movie, like one of my favorite movies, but it was an even better book that was written by Alexandre Dumas. So maybe it's because we have the same surname that I thought, homeboy's written a brilliant book and I love him for that, and I'm just gonna like give him a shout out right now. Either that, or maybe it's just because of the story itself. But but either way, the story goes of a sailor by the name of Edmond Dantès. And he was a 19-year-old sailor who became the captain of the ship that he was leading. And also, very shortly afterwards, with the money that he got from being a captain of the ship, he goes on and he proposes to his longtime girlfriend. Now, everything was going good. Everything was up and to the right, except that there was another sailor who was ambitious for the job that he got, and he became very jealous of Edmund. And he was like, oh no, this guy, like, oh, he's only 19, I'm like 50 something, oh, you know, he was like that, you know. And not only was this guy jealous, but also another guy who was very much interested in Edmund's girlfriend. You know, he had tried all the moves, he had done all the things, but he just got friend-zoned at the end of the day. And it's like, oh, Edmund, oh, you know. So he really hated Edmund Dantès as well. So these two guys conspired together, and they eventually got Edmund falsely accused of treason, and he ended up going into prison in France's most deadly and most dreaded prison. Bitter, confused, wondering how it all went wrong. You know, Edmund was just like in his prison cell, lonely and really beginning to like feel down and out about himself. You know, he thought everything was going up until the right, but a series of few unpredicted events began to make that not be a reality and began to make him spiral and his life spiral downwards. So he began to feel a lot bitter. He began to feel a lot like things aren't going so well for him. Until one day, he kind of heard chiseling coming through on his prison cell. And then he saw an old Italian priest kind of chiseled his way into his cell. And he chiseled his way in because he had got his calculations wrong. He was trying to chisel his way out of the prison and ended up chiseling his way into the cell. And because of that, the two of them struck up a friendship together, and a friendship where the Italian priest explained to Edmund everything that he knew about life. And Edmund did the hard work of actually chiseling the right way out of the prison. You know, so that's what their friendship looked like, and that's what they began to do. Now, because of their friendship, you know, the old priest, again, shared everything that he knew to Edmund. You know, whether it was philosophy, literature, science, everything that he knew, he shared it with Edmund. And because of that, Edmund became a lot more intelligent. I mean, he went from illiterate sailor to, like, a well-educated man. You know, and because of what the priest had done in his life, Edmund began to feel better physically, emotionally, mentally, and he knew that despite his circumstances, he was a lot better at life. And what we begin to see from the story as well is that a little while later, the priest dies and Edmund eventually escapes. But because he had stored up what the priest had told him, because he had stored up all the words that the priest had showed him and taught him all throughout his life, he began to see that he could endure and he could handle and he could find a life-giving force within the world around him. And because of that, Edmund began to become successful in his life and began to see things in a lot better way. But the point is this. In an unpredictable world where one thing after another began to happen to him, Edmund stored up life-giving words that shaped him, inspired him, and gave him purpose. And my question for us today is, how often do we find ourselves in unpredictable circumstances? You know, it may be a small tension with a family member that kind of started suddenly, but all of a sudden became a full-blown conflict that you somehow can't resolve. It's unexpected, unpredictable. It may be a small credit card debt where you added, where you just thought, it's just a little thing. But if you added to the clothing store debt, the home loan, the car repayments, and the cell phone contract, and the possible murmurs of retrenchment and pay cuts, you know, all of this added together, all of a sudden, this mounting debt begins to appear, and it begins to be overwhelming and causing stress. Again, unexpected and unpredictable. And it may be a health report that hits you and your family hard. You know, you were expecting the doctor to come back with maybe just a prescription of a few antibiotics, but instead he sits you down to explain how things really are in the situation of your condition and the severity of it. It's unpredicted. It's unexpected. And we all have our variations of these scenarios because we all live in an unpredictable world. And because of that, you know, when these unpredictable moments hit, it's so easy for us to feel stuck. It's so easy in those moments to feel like, oh, I don't know what to do or where to go. But church, my one encouragement for us today is that we never have to feel that way. There's no need for us to feel that way. There's no need for us to walk that way. Because just as Edmund stored up life-giving words of the priest to help him in his unpredictable season, we too can store up words, life-giving words of our Heavenly Father that can help us in our unpredictable seasons. Words that can shape us, words that can inspire us, words that can really cause breakthrough in our lives. So because of that, it will be my privilege over the next few moments to encourage us and to help us and to really help us to discover how this is a better way to live. No, this one principle that can help us where we don't have to feel overwhelmed, we don't have to feel stressed, we don't have to feel like we have to live looking over our shoulders anxiously, but we actually can live better, we can live freer, and we can live healthier. And this one principle is so simple, but it's this. Store up life-giving words in an unpredictable world. Store up life-giving words in an unpredictable world. Now, just as we've said, our world around us is unpredictable. You know, we never know from one moment to another what's going to happen really in reality. We can kind of presume that we're going to get to work okay, but like at the end of the day, like an accident could like slow us down or things like that can happen that makes our world and makes our lives unpredictable. But we don't have to live as slaves where we succumb to the unpredictable nature of our lives. We don't have to live reacting to those unpredictable moments that we find ourselves in. But instead, we can know that there is someone greater who is on our side, working on our behalf, and helping us in those unpredictable moments. And we can know this, and we know this best when we live knowing what his living words are, and we have them stored up in our minds and in our hearts. Because when that happens, we begin to see that we don't have to live unsure and stuck in an unpredictable world. Now the question becomes, what are his life-giving words? What are God's life-giving words? Well, simply put, it's everything found, every word found in this book. By memorizing, by reading God's word daily, weekly, I was going to say yearly, but I feel like people will be tempted to only read it once a year. So I'm going to backtrack there. If we read and just learn and study and memorize God's word, we'd be storing it up in our hearts and in our lives. And we don't have to live, once again, not knowing what to do because there's a life-giving force coming out from God's word that can really help us in our lives, that can help us to inspire us, to shape us, to give us purpose, and to create breakthrough. Edmund never forgot what the priest spoke into his life. He stored up each of those life-giving words. And he ended up discovering a better way to live, even though the rest of his life continued to be unpredictable. And this is a powerful metaphor for our lives too. Because when we see and when we recognize that by storing up God's word in our lives and in our hearts, we too can begin to see that there is a life-giving nature that is happening in our lives. There's a life-giving force that can help us live better, can help us live healthier, and can help us live freer. All because we are storing up God's life-giving words. And we can be confident that God's word is life-giving in every season of our lives because we can see its effect so clearly in the Gospels. You know, in just one example, in Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus exercising the use of God's word to kind of handle the situations that he was going through in a particular moment. We begin to see how, because he had stored up God's word in his heart and in his mind, how he was able to fend off everything that was happening to him in this one particular passage that we're going to be reading. Now, in this passage, we see Jesus still wet from head to toe from his baptisms, being led by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he begins to fast, he begins to pray, and then he begins to receive some severe testing from the devil. And at those, each of those severe testings, Jesus just like fends him off. You know when there's like a shorter guy like at school and like you're like the big guy and you can hold him off like that, and like the short guy's like, ah! You know, Jesus basically did that to the devil like throughout the whole of Matthew chapter 4. He was just like holding him off. He's like, bro, like you got nothing on me, you know? Like that type of vibe. But what we begin to see from this passage and what we begin to notice is that there's something in particular that Jesus did that helped him be able to fend off each of Satan's attacks. And this is the one thing that we're going to be looking at and honing in and zoning in on today. And again, the passage comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And it says this: Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, No. The scriptures say, People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, He will order his angels to protect you. And they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your feet on a stone. Jesus responded, The scriptures also say, You must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. What an encounter. You know, on the one side, you have the devil trying to attack Jesus at his weakest and like just losing badly. And on the other side, you have Jesus at his weakest being able to fend off Satan like he was like a fly around him, like just get away, you know, like whatever. You know, that's the power that we see from Jesus right there in that moment. Now, although this passage that we've just read, although this entire account that we've just read was very much planned by the Holy Spirit for Jesus, let's not be mistaken. Jesus' planned trip into the wilderness was very much designed to help us in our unplanned moments, in our wilderness experiences. His moment was predicted so that we can be helped and know what to do when our unpredicted moments hit. Warren Wiersbe explains it like this: Jesus was not tempted so that the Father could learn anything new about his Son, for the Father had already given Jesus his divine approval. Jesus was tempted so that every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might know that Jesus Christ is the conqueror. So Jesus conquered this moment so that we can know how it is that we can conquer all of our unpredictable moments when they come. And how does he conquer this moment? How does he show us how to conquer this moment? By simply storing up God's life-giving words. every single one of Satan's attacks came at Jesus, Jesus simply responded back with, "The scriptures say, the scriptures say, the scriptures say." That's how he responded back. And this was Jesus at his weakest. I still don't, like, it blows my mind. He's at his weakest, and he doesn't have a Bible at hand. It's not like he was there being like, oh, I know this one. I think it's in Isaiah. I think it's in Jeremiah. Wait. Oh, I know this one. No, he just knew it in the back of his head. And he was like, no, the scriptures say. The scriptures also say. No, the scriptures say. And because of that, he was able to fend off all of Satan's attacks in those unpredictable moments. And that shows us how it is that we can do the same thing as well. You know, author and pastor David Guzik, he points this out. He says, Jesus used scripture to battle Satan's temptations, not some elaborate spiritual power inaccessible to us. Jesus fought this battle as fully man. Fully man. Again, very tired, very weak. And he drew on no special resources unavailable to us. I just love this. You know, Jesus didn't use any resource unavailable to us. He used scripture. He had God's word at hand. And he did this so that we can know that in any situation that we find ourselves in, whether it be an unpredictable health situation, an unpredicted situation at work, an unpredicted relational struggle, an unpredicted health crisis, whatever the situation is, we can know that we can simply respond back just as Jesus did. The scriptures say, the scriptures say, the scriptures say. And by doing that, we'll be seeing how God's life-giving words can help us in those very moments in our lives too. You know, today we're referring to this age-old practice as storing up God's life-giving words. But a more traditional term for this is simply memorize scripture. Just that simple. Just memorize scripture. Charles Swindon once wrote, "I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witness will be sharper and become more effective. Your attitudes and outlook on life will change. Your mind will become more alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified." There is power in memorizing God's word. There is power in storing up his life-giving words in our lives. And you know, as we do this and as we begin to do this, we begin to see that when we store up God's life-giving words in our lives, it does three things for us. You know, firstly, it does something to us, then it does something in us, and then it does something for us. In us, to us, for us. We're going to unpack each of these now, but let's do so by looking at, once again, Jesus' wilderness experience and seeing how we can learn from his example how it is that these three things happen in our lives as well. So firstly, it does something to us. Now, one of the big things that God's word does to us is that it shapes our thinking. It shapes our thinking on life. So Jesus willingly stepped into this wilderness experience. Now, he didn't like flounder or second guess, and it was like baptism, heaven open, you know, Holy Spirit coming in like a dove, God saying, "That's my boy, that's my son, he's my beloved, listen to him," you know, like heaven going, "Yeah," you know. Then, like, he didn't like go from there, and the Holy Spirit's like, "Now go to the wilderness." He's like, "Sorry, that doesn't sound right in comparison to everything else that I've just heard." You know, he didn't do that because he knew who the Holy Spirit was. He was confident of who the Holy Spirit was. He knew of that if the Holy Spirit said, "Go into the wilderness," it was for his good. He knew this because his thinking had been shaped. His life had been shaped by just daily routine of storing up God's word and of praying to him. So he knew that whatever it is that the Holy Spirit was asking him to do next, it's for the better. It's for the good. And you know, the same is true for us as well. When our thinking on life is shaped and changed, you know, by God's word, the unpredictable nature of our lives, everything that we're unsure of, begins to take on a different look because we have a different type of backdrop. We have a different type of lens that we're looking life through. And we know that we can step in confidently to what God is teaching us and showing us. And we can see that we don't have to be tempted to feel fear in our unpredictable moments, but instead we can walk into each of them in faith. All because of storing up God's word. You know, Romans 12 verse 2 tells us, don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you'll know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. Now that's what happens to us whenever we store up God's word. It shapes our thinking on life. And the second thing it does is that it does something in us. And what it does in us is that storing up God's word makes us wiser. You know, when push came to shove, Jesus, he didn't even trust his own thinking and his own rational behavior and how to respond to Satan. And when push came to shove, Jesus was like, nope, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm just going to quote scripture. I'm not going to rely on anything else. I'm not going to trust my own intellect. I'm not going to trust my own strength. I'm just going to quote scripture what God says about the situation. And how often is it that we, public enemy number one, try to handle situations in our own strength and with our own intellect? You're like, oh, I know this situation. I know how to deal with this leadership challenge. I know how to deal with this relational challenge. I'm just going to use my own strength. And then how often is it a hit or miss affair? It's like sometimes you get it, it's like, oh, I'm so wise, eh? It's just like it. And other times it's like, oh, I can't believe that went wrong, you know? Like, how often is that the case? Because that's what happens when we trust in our own strength and our own intellect. It's a hit or miss affair. But Jesus was willing to hang his whole life story, his whole purpose, his whole ministry, everything about him. He was willing to hang it all on the line by trusting God's word. And he was wiser for it. And we'd be wiser for it too. You know, Proverbs 2 verse 6 tells us, for the Lord grants wisdom, for from his mouth, in other words, from the words that he speaks, come knowledge and understanding. I just love that. You know, Jesus knew this to be true in his own life, and it made him wiser. And if we know this as well at every turn of our lives and at every unpredictable moment, it'll make us wiser too. So that's what happens in us whenever we store up God's word. It makes us wiser. And then lastly, it does something for us. And what it does for us is that storing up God's word paves the way for breakthrough. That's what it does for us. You know, we see that after Satan had attacked Jesus and had tempted him, angels came and looked after Jesus. You know, I don't know if this happens. And I'm not going to like play God and be like, this definitely doesn't happen if Jesus doesn't fend off all the various temptations from Satan. But I'm pretty sure that something of this magnitude and of this divine quality doesn't happen if Jesus doesn't fend off each of Satan's attacks. So because of his defense and because of him storing up God's word and recalling it when he needed to, Jesus received divine provision. So divine provision was on the other side of Jesus storing up God's life-giving words in his life and using it in those high-pressure moments. So a breakthrough in the unprecedented and unpredictable moments in our lives, in our marriages, our careers, our high school studies, our finances, it on the other side of that could be a breakthrough from if we just hang on to what God says about that situation in that moment. And God tells us this in Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11. He says, the rain and snow come down from the heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It always produces fruit. It will establish all I wanted to, and it will prosper everywhere. Everywhere I send it. You know, that's just a remarkable reminder of the power of God's word when we know it deep inside of our hearts and we call it out whenever we need it to. And we don't even have to look as far as Isaiah or as far as Jesus' time on earth to know this to be true in our lives. You know, over the years here at church, we've seen testimony story after testimony story of the amazing people in our congregation who've had to deal with either relational struggle, a financial tension, or just need a breakthrough in their health as well. And because of that, you know, we see these remarkable stories week in and week out. And without fail, every single one of the stories, we have somebody, one of the amazing people in our church, who always say, either I committed this verse to memory, or we stood on this verse during this hard time, or we just kept repeating this one verse that God spoke to us in hard time. And because of that, week in, week out, we see people who have just received breakthrough in their lives simply because they stored up God's word when they needed it most. And that's what happens whenever we store up God's word. That's what it does for us whenever we store it up. It paves the way for our breakthrough. So by storing up God's word in our lives, he's storing up his life-giving words in our lives and in our unpredictable moments, our thinking is shaped. We become wiser and the way is paved for our breakthrough. Imagine if that's the quality of your life. How awesome would that be? A different way of thinking, new and better, wisdom, moment after moment, and breakthrough, season after season. That's a better way to live. Now, you may be thinking right now, like, sure, that's all well and good. Thanks so much, Kulu, but I'm not good at the storing up thing. I'm not even good at storing up anniversaries. You just just ask my wife, you know, just like I'm net floristing like every belated birthday, you know, like the card for me doesn't say like, oh, happy birthday for tomorrow. It's like, happy belated birthday. I'm sorry, I missed it. Here are some flowers. You know, like you may be thinking like, oh no, I can't even store up names. You know, like I'll meet you now and like 2 seconds later, like, oh, I hope I don't meet you again. You know, you may be thinking that I can't store things up, so I definitely can't store up God's word. If that's you, welcome to the club. Our membership is huge, and I think I'm vice president, if not president. And something that has helped me over the years, a simple practice that has helped me, I really just hope, and it's been my prayer all weekend, that it can help you too. You know, something very simple, a simple habit that can help with this, if you're a fellow struggler, is simply this. To store up scripture, keep it front and center. To store up scripture, keep it front and center. Now, I'm the recipient of the world's worst party trick. I am good at memorizing people's number plates. From colleagues to family members, like I see the number plates, I'm like, hey, I can see them on the road, you know. Even our next door neighbors, sometimes I can learn the number plates before I can learn their names. And then I see the car on the road, I'm like, hey, that's our next door neighbor. It's stalkerish, I know, but I just can't help it. I can just simply remember people's number plates. It's weird, I know. But it's a habit that I picked up while I was a stock controller at a car dealership a few years back. Now, when I was working as a stock controller, I used to be in charge of taking the stock, which was the cars, and controlling them. Which you are, based on that, are saying, like, duh. But if you could know how long it took me to kind of like get that into my head, it's embarrassing actually. It's like stock, control. Even now, youth, leader, it takes me long. I'm still in the uptake. But anyway, I used to have to always be able to, about 3 times a week, see where the cars are and know where they are and basically what's happening with them next. Are they getting sold? Are they getting like fixed up and from like all dents and stuff like that? You know, where is the car at any given time? So because so many of the cars had a similar make and had a similar color and things like that, the best way I could do this is by simply looking at the number plate. So I would have the stock sheet, and I'll go about 3 times a week and look at the stock sheet, look at the number plate on the stock sheet, look at the number plate on the car, and like, do I see it? Yes. Tick. Okay, next car. Do I see it? Why don't I see it? It's getting sold in 2 days. Ah, okay. Previous stress, like living it out right now. But I used to see the car and look at the number plates, and whether the number plate was on the stock sheet or on the car, it was always front and center. I could always see it before my eyes. And because of that, just by default, I could always remember the car's number plate. And so even to this day, you know, Amy and I would be driving on the highway, and I'd be like, hey, we sold that car at the dealership. And then we'll drive up closer to the car, and there it is, like the car's dealership sticker. Like, hey, I knew it. Hey. You know? Once again, world's worst party trick, but here we are. And I am so grateful that this little habit isn't just good for remembering and memorizing and storing up silly and random things like number plates, because I am grateful that it is as equally helpful in remembering something as potent and as life-giving as God's word. So by keeping God's word front and center in our minds and in our hearts, what we begin to see is that we are able to, simply by default, just have it stored up in our hearts and in our minds, just by keeping it in front of ourselves at all times. So we keep God's word front and center by doing a few simple things. You know, you can choose which one works for you, but I just want to give us a few helpful examples, a few practical examples on how this can work out. So you could either have a verse on your phone or on your desktop screensaver. You know, you can either have a verse on your dashboard in your car. So whenever you're stuck in traffic or whenever you look at your phone, the verse is just there. You know, you can have a scripture on finances in your wallet if you get anxious about money. You know, as you take out your card, like, oh, my word. But then you see, oh, okay, Philippians 4, verse 19. Okay, cool, we're good. You know, you can even have a scripture on identity or God's promises on the back of your phone if you easily forget what God has promised you or if you easily forget your identity in Christ. Now, you can even have a verse on your fridge about God's protection over your family. And just keep it there. And every time you open the fridge, you know, I'm hungry. Oh, but I also believe God's promises. Okay, what's next? Yeah. No, we can keep that. So by keeping it front and center, it helps us know and see what it is that God is trying to speak into our lives. And it helps us to be able to store up God's word in our lives and in our hearts. So again, each and every one of these ways, in addition to your daily devotional time with God, not in replace of, but in addition to, in addition to your daily devotional times with God, all of these ways can help you store up life-giving verses that can help you and ground you in this unpredictable world. It's so simple, yet so profound. To store up scripture, keep it front and center. And as we do this, you know, as we keep storing up scripture and as we keep it front and center, we'll begin to see in a powerful way that all the things that it does to us, that it does for us, and it does in us. As you keep a scripture just there on your dashboard or on your phone, you begin to see that over time, your thinking is shaped. You become wiser, and the way is being paved for your breakthrough. And again, don't we all need this in our lives, and particularly in the unpredictable moments that we find ourselves in? So I'd like to land the plane here, you know, and kind of share with us a few verses that can help us in doing this. So we're just going to bring it to a very practical level. And right now on the screen, you're going to see a few scriptures that are going to come up. And I don't know where you're at in your life or what's been unpredictable in your world or in your life, but can I encourage you to take a photo of some of these scriptures that are here? Now, and if you're watching online, just take a screenshot of your screen. And can I encourage you that regardless of what it is that you're going through, pick one of these scriptures. And then keep it front and center. Have it written out in full. Keep it as a screensaver. Keep it on your dashboard. Keep it in your wallet. Regardless, whatever it is, and my hope and prayer, my big hope and prayer for you, is that as you do that, you begin to become wiser. You begin to have your thinking shaped. And you begin to see your breakthroughs on the horizon. So to recap, there's a better way to live in an unpredictable world. And that way is by simply storing up God's life-giving words in our hearts and in our minds. And as we follow Jesus' example, by doing this, we'll begin to see that this storing of scripture in our hearts and our minds does something to us, it does something in us, and it does something for us. We begin to have our thinking shaped, we begin to be a lot wiser, and then we'll begin to see breakthrough on the horizon. And the most practical way of doing this and of living this out is by simply adopting the habit of, if you want to store up scripture, keep it front and center. And in closing, I came across this phenomenal testimony from Darlene Diebler-Rose. Now, Darlene Rose was a missionary who was captured by the Japanese in World War II and spent 4 years in a concentration prison camp. She went on to give this amazing testimony of God's word and the power of having it memorized. And she says this. Now listen to this amazing testimony. It blows me away each time. As a child and young person, I had had a driving compulsion to memorize the written word. In the cell, I was grateful for all those days in Vacation Bible Club when I memorized many single verses, complete chapters and psalms, as well as whole books of the Bible. In the years that followed, I reviewed and reviewed those scriptures. The Lord fed me with the living word that had been stored up against the day when fresh supply was cut off by the loss of my Bible. He brought daily comfort and encouragement, yes, and joy to my heart through the knowledge of the word. I had never needed the scriptures more than in those months in death row. But since so much of his word was there in my heart, it was not the punishment that Japanese police force had anticipated when they took away my Bible. Now I hope and pray that you don't find yourself in a Japanese concentration camp someday. But what I do hope and I do pray is that when you store up God's word and when you need to recall it someday, that you too will say that God brought daily comfort and encouragement, yes, and joy to my heart from the knowledge of his word. Storing up God's word in our lives in our unpredictable moments, it's a better way to live. So let's live that way this week. Come, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment and we thank you for this time that you have provided for us where we can discover and learn from your word. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we continue to live out your word and live out the principles that you showed us from Matthew chapter 4, may we begin to see the full effect of God's life-giving presence and word in our lives. May we become wiser. May we become to see, to become our thinking to be shaped. And may we also see a breakthrough in our lives and in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of this in your mighty, powerful, and amazing name. Amen. 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 God bless, church.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.